All right, welcome to week 21 of Bird's Eye View. And while we were talking about, you know, having a playoff race, and hell, things got a little bit better over the past week.
Yeah, we're still in it. And not only has this become a race for the wild card, but New York Yankees, you're on notice. We're right behind you.
Yep. You know, we've taken a first place position in the wild card sharing with Oakland at this date. And yeah, the Yankees are within striking distance with a potential, you know, taking the lead during this weekend, depending on how games shake out for the rest of this White Sox series.
Yeah, no, it's definitely going to be significant baseball that we play in the series. Wait.
Significant baseball? It's going to be September this weekend.
Oh. Well, following up on our August of significant baseball, yeah. We're just going to break all the rules.
My whole, you know, universe has been shattered.
Yeah, I have no idea what's going on now either. I'm just making this up as I go along. I don't even know how I'm supposed to feel or what I'm supposed to be doing, but
so for shattering all boundaries and stuff, like, does that mean like Kevin Gregg could be a Cy Young candidate in September?
Really? Again with this?
Just asking the question.
We're going to have a segment like Scott's Kevin Gregg moment of the day.
Can we just do it every 5 minutes? I just bring up Kevin Gregg just to piss you off?
No, not so much. Let's get to the production team on that and see if we can make that happen.
All right, we can do that.
Who do we play this week? We played the Rangers. Two games in that series fell within this week. We played an abbreviated series with the Blue Jays and the start of the White Sox series.
Yeah, we really don't want to talk about the Rangers series. They're good. They kick our ass. Moving on.
Well, it's not Verlander-esque. The games happen. You have to talk about it.
Well, no, I mean, they don't have the pitching like Verlander, but, you know, they just go up there with Adrian Beltre and hit three freaking home runs against us.
I tell you what, the top...
It's not like we have a person on our team that can go up there and hit three home runs.
You're totally getting ahead of yourself here.
Shit, you're right.
You just ruined the entire podcast. No,
I apologize to all 12 people out there.
The teams in the West have really taken a beating on the Orioles this year. The Angels absolutely owned them, and the Rangers, well, it's basically the same.
Not 33 the same, but... You know, 12-3, it's pretty similar. Yeah.
In the last two games in the Rangers series, we won the first one, 5-3. They scored big in a four-run inning, thanks to a triple by Machado, a double by Hardy, and a home run by Nate McLouth, who knew. And Tillman, again, was impressive. 6 2/3, scattering three runs, and... Quite the impressive heater.
Yeah, I would agree. I think the biggest thing to take out of that Rangers series is, you know, had a really difficult road trip with the Tigers and the Rangers, and they managed to come out of that difficult road trip 500.
Absolutely.
I mean, that was a series that you easily could have gone into and been like, oh, we might win one or two games, but to come out of that 500, I think that's a pretty big achievement.
And after dropping the first game of the Rangers series and winning the second one, it was kind of interesting because we had that rubber game. Where we had the opportunity to take, you know, two series against two really good teams. We ended up blowing it. But
well, yeah, I mean, it was Tom Hunter, so...
Yeah, it was still, like you said, though, a positive road trip. I think it was a little disappointing once we put ourselves in that position to win, to not see it happen. But again, I think this goes back to raised expectations because we're no longer satisfied with just being happy to be there. You know, we're competing against these teams, and I don't know about you, but I'm starting to get to the point where I expect us to win on a nightly basis.
Are we talking about the Ravens or the Orioles here?
No, this is the Orioles.
Oh, okay.
This is the Orioles. The games that matter. Yeah, that one. You mentioned Tommy Hunter, so let's talk a little bit about that. What happened?
He was Tommy Hunter. He gave up the long ball.
Tommy went boom, and Adrian Beltre just went off.
Adrian Beltre went off, and he's been hot this whole week, so it's not just Tommy Hunter, but Tommy Hunter went boom, and this should be no surprise to Orioles fans. Tommy Hunter has the highest home runs per innings of any pitcher in Major League Baseball, and that's considering the fact that, you know, he's got 32 home runs. But he hasn't pitched the whole time in the major leagues. He's gone down to the minor leagues multiple times. So he's just a very poor pitcher in terms of not giving up the long ball.
Well, you know, he got sent back down again.
Yeah.
But to double A. Yeah, he skipped a step there, went directly to double A. And I was thinking about it. I thought to myself, you know, is this just roster massaging? Are they putting him in double A so that they can get him a few starts? Or, you know, is the roster full at triple A and they're trying to figure out something to juggle him? But I think they're legitimately pissed at him.
I disagree entirely. I've got the inside scoop. See,
this ought to be good.
Yeah, see, this is what happened. So I was talking to my good friend Jim Tomei.
Yeah, of course you were. While lying in bed with Jim Palmer. There,
no,
I beat
no.
you to it.
I was just talking to my good friend Jim Tomei, and me and him were talking about, you know, his scouting trip that he just recently did with Dylan Bundy. So they basically, Tomei came back up to Buck and said, we need to send an elite pitcher down to mentor Dylan Bundy. So Buck
and
said...
And they couldn't find one. So
no,
they
that's
sent...
That's not true. They said, well, we got the perfect guy. He's a big game pitcher. We're going to send him down. So they sent Tommy Big Game Hunter down there to mentor Dylan Bundy. And look what happened. Hunter got down there and pitched a two-hitter in double-A.
Yeah, yeah. He was a real bulldog out there, wasn't he?
He was a bulldog. There's no way that, like, Roger Clemens at age 50 could do something like that.
Tommy Hunter, God love him, he tries, but miserable. Just miserable. All right, so the Rangers series, not so good. The Blue Jays series, on the other hand, was quite good.
Was it really even a series, though?
It was a two-game engagement. How about that?
It's like more like a foray.
I was actually really disappointed that they ended up raining out that third game. You know, it just kind of drizzled all night. But games are hard to put into the schedule towards the end, and they're going to end up packing a single admission doubleheader into the end of September.
Oh, it's going to be terrible to go and see two baseball games in one day.
No, I mean, it's great, but it was disappointing that they removed it from this part of the schedule because it'd be nice to get a winnable game right before we go into this heavy, you know, Yankee-laden part of the schedule.
I guess. I don't really see the issue with it. We're going to have the 40-man roster up here, so we'll be okay.
Yeah, I suppose. Blue Jays series won both those games. The first was a 6-4 victory, which featured Chris Davis hitting his own trio of home runs.
Wait. Chris Davis hit three home runs?
He hit three home runs in the same game.
Oh, okay. Did he have a chance for four?
He did have a chance for four. Did you see this fourth at bat by any chance?
He was trying to draw a walk.
Yeah, everybody in the building knew that he was trying to hit the ball as hard as humanly possible, and he swung laughably hard at the pitches. He joked after the game that he was trying to draw a walk, but it was a pretty impressive night for him.
Thor smash.
Yeah, Kong smash ball. Yeah. And then also in that game, you had another great pitching performance, which was, you know, again, what we've come to expect from the starters. And frankly, you know, we talked for such a long time about the starters not really getting it done and getting bailed out by the bullpen. And, you know, here we are. It's starting to become a strength for the team, at least in this particular stretch.
Yeah, and you know, again, had another surprising outing from Britton. You know, this is a player that basically got sent down and then brought back up. And, you know, he had another nice, solid outing. So kudos to Britton for bouncing back strong in back-to-back games. We'll see if he can continue that pace into September.
Yeah, he really had his sinker working. He pitched 6 2/3. And of those, 20 batters that he faced... or at least 20 outs he got, 11 ground balls and 6 Ks.
Yeah. He pitched motherfucking strikes. That's the same set.
He did. Buck had no reason to slam the phone open.
Not at all. So go to game 2 versus the Blue Jays, and it really was, in my opinion, Stevie Johnson's night. You know, he really commanded that game with his fastball. You know, had a rough, you know, first inning with that home run, but as soon as that home run was given up, he basically settled right down and did what he needed to do as a solid pitcher, and the Orioles did what they do, and that's get him runs back.
Yeah, absolutely. The other part about that game, don't run on Matt Wieters.
Don't run on Matt Wieters.
Why would you run on Matt Wieters?
He hit 3 throwouts that game?
3.
Yep. That's a whole inning, basically, where he says, okay, you don't have to pitch an inning now. I'm going to give you those outs back. So,
yeah. And it's a situation in which you have a runner on, and you're killing a rally in process.
Yeah,
progress.
I think the best play of that night was Omar Vizquel trying to run on Matt Wieters.
Yes.
You're sending a
don't run, old man.
Yeah, you're sending a 42-year-old man to run on Matt Wieters, and
I'm pretty sure he's older than 42. I think he may be either 44 or 45.
All right, we're fine.
And again, we're splitting hairs at this point, but if you're still running on Matt Wieters at 45, you make poor
choices.
I was
watching that game with my wife that night, and I said, that's Omar Vizquel. I said, he has been in the league since Cal was in the league. He's 45 years old, and he's from Venezuela, so he could really be like 50 years old.
That's right. That's right. Let me see his papers.
So he could really be 50 years old, but he's 45 years old, so that just tells you how old this guy is. Now, this is supposed to be his last season, but you never know.
Yeah, hasn't he said that for the last 5 years?
He has. You know,
I got to give it to him, though. I mean, I love players that play at a high level late in their careers. You know, I have a soft spot in my heart for Jamie Moyer, for what he did.
That's what I'm thinking. I think we need to have, like, Battle of the Old Timers.
That's right. I would love to see
that. It needs to be a Saturday afternoon, like, ABC special where you have Omar Vizquel and Jamie Moyer, and they get 27 outs, and whoever can get the more outs or more home runs, they win the game.
Well, you know, Roger Clemens could be pulled into that mix.
That's
now.
True.
He's trying to
That's
make his
point.
Return to professional ball.
And I'm sure Ricky Henderson would get on that, too.
Absolutely. Canseco, yeah. Clearly.
Well, it's just Ricky being Ricky.
It's just Ricky being Ricky. What are we doing here? Oh, Steve Johnson. 7 Ks, 1 walk. It was a good night for him. I agree. He was the story of the show. Hardy also had a good night. Hit a home run and was a double away from the cycle, which is, you know, always good. Steve Johnson, definitely the star of that show. I don't know if he's going to stick in the rotation. I don't know if he's going to get the occasional spot start, but he's been a really good addition to this team at a time when they really needed it.
Yeah, I agree. It's as simple as that. He could definitely be the long one, though, out of the bullpen.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. For a playoff run.
For a potential playoff run.
Stop that.
Then we went into the White Sox series, and you're playing a really good White Sox team. They were basically coming into the series with 6 straight wins.
Right. And, you know, every time we hit a hard portion of the series, everybody says, well, this is the most important series that we have coming up because,
You know, you always say that when you're, like, a winning team.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. When you don't have...
When you have, like, 20 games back, it doesn't really matter about this series because it really doesn't ever have any ramifications, but every single series is going to be an important series going forward.
Yeah, it's been nice. And, you know, thus far in the White Sox series, the Orioles have been faring pretty well.
Yep. The first game was really all about McLeod basically having that, you know, come-from-behind home run in the 8th inning, which, again, it's kind of, you know, Orioles magic, basically. You know, this team finds ways to win with unexpected players. There's no way anyone would have said the Orioles will go 13 games over 500 in late August with Nate Klaus hitting a go-ahead home run. People have been like, huh?
Well, it was crazier than that because earlier in the game, Lou Ford hit a home run.
It's true. That was his second back-to-back home run, right?
Yeah, Lou Ford hit a home run, and then, you know, Pedro Strop gave up a run in the 8th to blow a lead.
Yep.
And McLeod came right back and put 2 more on the board and you know, got back the game for him. You're right. Unlikely sources of wins, but Orioles magic, absolutely right.
Yep. And then the second game, the Orioles won 6-0, and it really was the Chris Tillman show.
It was the Chris Tillman show, and that's becoming a theme. I mean, I hate to go back to that, but I mean, Tillman's been really impressive since that bad outing.
Tillman really has kind of taken the place of Hamill, and it's been kind of Chen and Tillman really anchoring the starting rotation, where you had Hunter there that kind of has been floundering, and then Gonzalez is kind of hit and miss, more hit than miss. And
but again, that's what you get from your 5th starter.
Right. And then Britton has been up and down, and then you had Steve Johnson there up and down, but those 2 players have really made a significant contribution. I think Tillman's got 7 wins now.
Yeah, that's actually the next point I was going to make. You know, we've been talking about, you know, will an Orioles starter get to 10 wins? And Chen and Hamill were creeping up that way, but Tillman very quickly, you know, for having been down in the minors for a good portion of the season, is creeping up to that 10 win mark. And, you know, I would not be surprised to see him get there.
Kind of reminds me of Arrieta from last year, where it was a quiet.
Yes.
10 wins, but not really like 10 wins that you would think someone would actually have.
Right. And it's quiet in the fact that, you know, he's really put great outings together. But his whole demeanor just seems to be so low-key. You know, if you caught the post-game chatter from him the other day after his game, you know, the first thing out of his mouth, boy, the lineup did a great job tonight.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm so proud of those guys.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's just cool to see. Of course, winning breeds that, I'm sure.
Well, he's been taking, like, speech lessons from Chen, though, too.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure Chen's interpreter put those words right in his mouth. the other interesting thing about that game for me was Jones hitting his 25th/100th home run.
Barely.
Yes, barely. But, you know, the talk of the last, you know, couple of days before that was, you know, is Adam Jones ever going to hit another home run? It's been 120 at-bats or whatever it
was. I think the more interesting thing was Tillman had one hit up there, and then basically they pulled Tillman out after the seventh inning, and then you brought Brian Madison for the eighth and ninth inning, and he did a great job closing out that game.
Yeah. It's really interesting because, you know, Brian Madison, and we can talk, go ahead and talk about this now, but
he's Brian Mattis.
Brian Mattis, they sent him down to the minors, and they brought him up, you know, converted him to a reliever, and instead of that being, you know, a shameful demotion, he's done a great job with it. And of course, every coach is going to say, oh, of course he's embraced it, and he's really excited about it, and blah, 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 blah.
Bullshit.
But I've seen nothing about his demeanor, and I've seen nothing about the way he's approached it that says anything otherwise.
Yeah, it's really surprising, too, because in the minor leagues, he was really struggling in that reliever position. Yeah. It was very similar to Britton when he was brought off that game.
Mm-hmm.
For the first time, we were just like, well, Britton's been struggling in AAA. What makes people think that Britton's going to do well? This is an instant loss, and Britton came out and threw, I think, 7 innings of shutout ball that game, and we're right. like, well, show us how much we know.
Buck apparently, looks like Buck knows again.
A genius again, yep. So this is kind of one of those situations that Buck looks like a genius again, because Brian Mattis is up here, and he's thrown 3 innings, I think, and has just done a great job in those relief appearances.
Sure. All right. Anything else about the first two games of the White Sox series?
Nope. Not really. And we're in the third game right now, and it's not looking so good, folks. So unless there's a miracle, I think we can just chalk this one up and try to go for the win tomorrow.
Yeah, it's kind of nice that we're at the point now where we can take a loss and say, well, can't win them all. But I'm gonna have to go ahead and admit, I think this one's my fault.
Because you didn't post anything on Facebook about them not being able to come back?
You know, the thing was is that the Orioles fell behind by 4 runs in the first, and I went, oh, that's great. You know, Saunders giving up a ton of runs in his first appearance. That's okay. They'll probably come back and make it interesting. They close out the top of the first. Markakis gets a hit, first at bat, and I thought, all right, here it comes. This is my fault. By not putting the reverse jinx in on there,
yeah.
This is totally my fault. Not only did Saunders have a bad first in what would have been his last inning, but they gave way to the protester, and you can't do that.
Well, you can if you don't want to try anymore.
Yeah, well, I guess somebody's got to throw junk innings.
Yeah.
So, yeah, not looking good. We'll hope for a little bit of Orioles magic, but...
I mean, honestly, if you're going to give the game away, I'd rather you bring in someone like Luis Ayala.
Yeah. He's really good at giving stuff away.
He is really good at, like, numbers and stuff like that.
Man, what a fantastic segue. So,
that's professional
that
right there.
That's a professional segue right there. So, let's talk about this Luis Ayala thing. I'm really... really upset about this story, and if you didn't
wait, you're upset about this story?
I'm fired up about this. I'm really disappointed.
Fired up, like bam, bam,
so if you bam, haven't heard about this, it means that you're under a rock. But Deadspin had his what you can't see is that it's not just music, there's shimmying involved,
so maybe a little gyrating.
You've got radio dancing, let me just tell you. It's like radio face, but it's wow. Help me. If you're listening to this, send help. Deadspin. Luis Ayala was the feature of a Deadspin article where he apparently tried to pick up a girl by giving her a baseball with his number on it. And this, I'm horrified by this. I'm so upset.
Because it's freaking awesome?
No. I'm not upset that he did it. I'm not upset that he's a married man. I'm upset that he's got no game.
Are you kidding me? If I was a bullpen pitcher and I saw some hot chick and I wrote my number on her ball and she actually contacted me afterwards, that's like the greatest pickup thing of all time.
Did you read the article? Okay, so first of all, Mr. Suave over there.
I might have written on the back, let me throw you a knuckle curve.
Jeez. How long have you been planning that one, by the way?
It's just pops in my head.
Jeez, that's what she said.
That's right.
No, the thing is that the article...
I have to say there's a reason they call him Messina the Moose.
Oh, gosh. Oh. This entire segment is dead now. No, the article described his demeanor as a middle school boy. There's nothing about being described as a middle school boy that can in any way make me think that you've got game. Not only did he giggle like a schoolgirl before he gave her the ball, but if you read the text exchange between him and the young lady...
Well, do you want to go through this? I mean, we could do some role-playing here.
You know, after you're dancing, I'm not sure that I want to get involved in role-playing. Well,
which one
you.
Do you want? Do you want to do the lady, or do you want to take Ayala? I think if we're looking for a middle school boy, I need to take Ayala.
Okay. We're all
now. When you take the lady, are you gonna actually do this in like a feminine voice, or
as opposed to my regular voice?
That's a good point.
All right. So, 1:53 p.m. By the way, during bullpen session of the game, she wasted no time. She says, "So, is this how you hit on all the girls? Throw them baseballs with your numbers?"
So then Ayala comes back and says, "Hello."
Why, hello.
Ella comes back and says, "Sorry, why are you so mad?"
And I assume that she's sighing before that, so that's yes. Why the deep, heavy sigh. "I'm not mad. I'm impressed with your pickup line. Most creative one I've seen yet."
See, this is when the bomb chicka womp womp is coming out right now. I mean, she's impressed.
It's ridiculous. He's not even forming sentences. I'm sorry, if you go through all that trouble to pick up a girl, I would expect that you would have a line ready.
Well, he does have a line ready. It's, "Ha ha ha ha, I want to make some friends, sweetie. It's bad to send you a baseball with my number? Sorry."
Again, heavy sigh. "I'd like to be friends. Thanks for the ball."
"My placer."
Oh.
Not my pleasure, my placer.
And then he follows up with,
"Okay, my new friend, have a good night. I hope don't forget number 38.
I have no words for this. None. That is so lame. If I were a major league pitcher and I was in place in such a position where I could throw a chick a ball with my number on it, I would have such a great set of lines ready for that. And he failed to convert. And I'm sorry. I'm tired of seeing Oriole pitchers in the bullpen being given a golden opportunity and just blowing it.
We're not talking about Kevin Gregg here. We're talking about Luis Seada.
I would say this is failure on Greggian proportions.
I disagree. I think this is hitting with runners in scoring position.
No. Because I don't think he converts here. And that this is upsetting to me. Because, again, I don't care that he's a married man. I don't care that it's a sleazy thing to do. I'm really bothered by the fact that he didn't do it better.
He's from Mexico. He's just looking for some friends. Maybe some good-looking friends. And you're really going to give this guy a hard time for going out there and trying to have friends?
No. I'm giving him a hard time.
It really was a pickup line. It was he was trying to make a friend.
Yeah. Okay.
As simple as that.
I'm sure it is. You have any segues to any other sleazy Oriole-related news this week?
Nah, I really haven't been listening to WNST, so...
Why not?
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about some actual baseball ins and outs. I want to touch really briefly on the Orioles we talked about. You know, hey, this is a real pennant chase at this point. Let's talk about the view of the national media.
Okay.
They're starting to catch on. They're starting to catch on that this is for real. I don't know if you noticed a couple of games ago, the Oriole, I think it was the Oriole White Sox game, was shown on the Major League Baseball Network, and clearly that was blacked out in this area because of the Masson rights. But I watched some of the post game, and it was very complimentary to the Orioles, you know, talking about how, you know, you have to start paying attention to them now. They are for real. And the way the roster's constructed with guys like Lou Ford and Nate McLouth, who aren't household names, they're putting themselves in positions to win every game. And it was really nice to see guys who know baseball coming to the same conclusion that we've been saying for weeks without the whole, "Well, Pythagoras says that they should suck" discussion.
Well, I mean, if I really want, you know, good baseball theory, I go to John Kruk, because anyone that has, you know, baseball body such as that obviously knows his baseball in and out.
No, that's not the MLB network. You're thinking of the other network.
Oh, that's right. You're right. Yeah.
ESPN, actually, I'm going to give them credit. There is an article.
What?
Yes, I know. No, actually, I have not been drinking heavily. ESPN had an article, I think it was this morning, that called the Orioles, in the headline, a team of destiny.
Wait. You mean they have a chance to get to the playoffs?
Apparently so. If you can believe what ESPN writes.
Well, there was an article on SCI a few weeks ago that said there's no possible way that the Orioles can get to the playoffs. It's impossible.
No.
Well, nearly impossible.
Nearly impossible. See, virtually impossible, which means They're saying there's a chance.
So you're saying there's a chance.
That's right. No, actually, my gripe this week with the national media was actually with SI, and that's unusual because they are usually overshadowed by ESPN's sheer magnificence, let's put it that way. But SI put out their power rankings, and we can all agree that power rankings are crap, right? I mean, it's all subjective crap. But I feel like it should at least be close, right? I mean, within a couple...
Do you want to explain how they do the SI power rankings?
I think there's a dartboard involved.
No, there's not a dartboard. It comes back to sabermetrics.
Yeah.
So they're basically, you're saying, this team has this amount of war, which is wins above replacement. And the one clear, obvious thing which strikes out to me is you've got the Red Sox there ranked at number 7. What?
Again, dartboard. You want to say there's math behind it, that's fine.
No, there's math behind it, but it's the aspect of, like we've talked about, you can use math all you want, but it doesn't mean the math is valid.
So, as you indicated, the Red Sox, who are well below 500, appear at position 7. And if you're looking for the Orioles, who, by the way, are leading the wild card chase, you have to go to position 20 to find them, which... It's absurd. It's just absurd.
It's pretty bad. Now, that being said, there is, you know, some decency here. You have the Rangers at number 1, the Cardinals at number 2, the Nationals at number 3, the Yankees at number 4, and the Reds at number 5. I can kind of agree with all those top 5.
Sure. Sure. I'm not saying the Orioles are the best team in the league. I'm not saying they deserve to be called the best team in the league. What I'm saying is that the validity of your power rankings are completely off when your number 7 team and your description of the number 7 team calls them a complete failure.
Yeah, I mean, the Orioles are situated right now between the Mets and the Marlins.
And at the time of the writing of that article, the Marlins at 21 had 58 wins.
Right.
The Mets at 19 had 59 wins.
Right.
The Orioles right between them at 20, 69. One of these things, not like the other.
Yeah, but their war winning percentage is between both of those, so that's why they get rated at number 20.
Yeah. It's terrible. It's terrible.
But we're talking about it, so good job, SI.
Yeah.
You got page views.
Apparently so. So the national media, it's kind of hit and miss.
Yeah. But there is a lot of attention being given to the Orioles right now, and it'll be interesting to see what happens during this weekend when they play the Yankees. If they manage to come out and win that series against the Yankees, ESPN's going to have to start including them in the top number 2 for the American League East and saying, hey, there actually is another team here going against the Yankees.
Right. And for anybody listening that doesn't get that reference, I stopped watching ESPN when they stopped showing all 5 teams in the division.
Well, they actually recently did this too. When the Orioles were half a game behind Tampa Bay and Tampa was like 4 or 5 games out and the Orioles were half a game out, they only showed the Yankees and the Rays and they didn't show the Orioles.
Oh, that's absurd. They started doing this a few years ago, and it wasn't just the East, it was with all the divisions, but they only showed the top 3 teams, and at that point, I think it was the Yankees, the Red Sox, and the Rays, and the moniker said AL East standings, and I thought to myself, you know, you missed 2 teams, and I would like to think that your viewers are intelligent enough not to be confused by the full 5.
No.
But it was at that point that I realized that ESPN's legitimacy for baseball coverage was completely gone.
Back. Gone.
So they've continued to edit it down to
2
keep
now.
The Orioles out?
Yep.
That's nice.
Yep.
I like that. All right, so let's talk about the Orioles because no one else will.
All right.
What do you think is going to happen in this next month? You wanted to talk about the rotation.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it briefly in the previous broadcast about whether they were going to bring Dylan Bundy up. There was an announcement tonight where Buck basically came out and said Dylan Bundy's going to be sent to the Instructional League, so he's probably not going to come up.
Right.
So I think any hope that we had of Dylan Bundy coming up, or I'm not even sure if it's hope, or any thought that we had of Dylan Bundy coming up is pretty much dead. It sounds like Hamill's, you know, rehab is going really well.
Mm-hmm.
Hamill looks like he might be in line for that September 6th start. So that means you're going to have Hamill, Chen, Tillman, Britton, Gonzalez, and I guess Saunders. That's 6 players right there.
Steve Johnson.
Steve Johnson could be a seventh person, but I think he's kind of a long man. So if you get into a pinch, let's say Saunders comes out here and Punisa bombs a game, or say Chen bombs a game, you could always just say, okay, Steve Johnson, you're in there and you're going to be our long man.
What about Randy Wolf?
Well, that's interesting you said that, because Buck came out today and said Randy Wolf is going to be looked at as a starter as opposed to a bullpen, which is very surprising. So that means you've got a 6-7 man rotation with a potential eighth man possibly with Steve Johnson there.
Right. Well, what do you think? I mean, will that happen? Will people be relegated to the bullpen? Who's the odd man out at that point? And really, who can you afford to bump back down to the minors in that bullpen?
I don't think you bump anyone back down to the minors. I think you'd go with a 6-man rotation. I think the fact that you've got Chen with the highest amount of innings that he's pitched ever, and you've got Gonzalez with the most amount of innings he's ever pitched, those are two players that you're basically going to want to have additional rest periods for.
Sure.
So, Hamill, yep, you can burn him because he's been resting for a while now.
But, again, if his knee balks again, you can go ahead and put him on some extra rest.
Exactly. If you give him an extra few days, it's fine. So, I think we'll definitely go to a 6-man rotation, and I think depending on how things are falling and depending on how certain lineups are, you might go to a 7-man rotation and say, we want the left-hand-left-hand matchup for the next 2 days as opposed to two right-handers back-to-back.
Right, and it's interesting you say that, because one of the things that Duquette said as they signed Saunders is they liked the fact that he was a lefty and they wanted to be able to match up a little bit better. And I think Wolf is also a lefty, isn't he? So it's clear that they're trying to bring some balance into the pitching staff. Also, you know, I asked who goes down the minors. Like an idiot, again, I failed to mention that rosters expand, so they really don't have to make those tough choices.
God, idiot.
Well, I'm not used to anybody of merit coming up, and I'm not used to it mattering in September.
Now, the one thing that we might have to check on is, yes, the 40-man roster gets expanded, but we also have to make sure that as of September 1st, there's a 25-man roster and there's a 40-man roster. Mm-hmm. I think you have to be on the 25-man roster to be eligible for the playoffs.
It's true. It's true. And you can replace guys that are hurt.
Right.
But yes, you're right. That's the 25 that is significant.
So it'll be interesting to see what the 25-man roster is and what the 40-man roster is come September 1st.
Absolutely. And they're all, you know, tough choices.
Yep.
All right. Anything else on the upcoming portion of the schedule or the team in general?
It really comes down to a really interesting series this weekend against the Yankees. It's going to really make or break this playoff run in the American League East. I'm not saying the wild card, but if the Orioles really want to be serious in the American League East, they need to at least win at least one game out of there. And if they can pull two games out of that series, they're in really good shape.
Yeah, I hate to keep pulling this. This is the most significant series they've played all season card. But
it's actually that Mariners series in September.
We're really looking forward to that. Although the Mariners have been playing good ball.
They have been playing very good ball.
I would hate to run into a buzzsaw of a bad team that is looking for a desperate run to try to get to 500. Because, you know, we've played that card before late in the season.
Card.
And I just don't want it to happen to us. But, yeah, you know, again, the Yankees, you're on notice. We're right behind you. And if we can have a good series against them, and heck, if we can have two good series against them, it could really be a determining factor.
And the fact that Teixeira is injured right now, and his replacement is Steve freaking Pierce.
Who the hell is Steve Pierce?
Well, he's playing for the Yankees right now, and he was their number four hitter last night. So that tells you how far the Yankees have fallen when Steve Pierce is your number four hitter.
I still think you're making that up.
He
hit cleanup for the Pinstripes.
Maybe if you did some research, you would, you know, realize I'm not lying here.
You know, I finally went through a
Steve Pierce just went in that locker room and was just like, bomb, chicken, mom, hey, let me write my number on this ball and give you to Alex Rodriguez.
He's been picking notes from the
That's right.
SIL. Oh, my. Well, is it time?
I think it's time.
All right. Well, I think that means that it's time for...
Wow, sound effects and everything.
I know. Very impressive. Very professional.
We could have our own radio station and everything.
I think that's a very terrible idea, actually.
Okay.
All right, the good and the bad and the ugly. Do you want to go ahead and start that this time around?
Yeah, sure. My good goes to the Cavalry. And there was talk back in the day of, okay, you've got these young pitchers that are going to come up, and they're going to, you know, bolster the Orioles, and they're going to basically be a part of this Orioles rotation. Well, it's kind of worked that way. It's kind of hasn't worked that way. You've had Tillman come up, and you've got Brendan come up, and they've both been pitching pretty well since the All-Star break. And then you had Mattis come up recently and really do a great job out of the bullpen. So those are three players that the Orioles were expecting to make solid contributions to this team. You know, one of them didn't get into the starting rotation, but that's okay. You weren't expecting every single prospect to pan out. If you can get, you know, half of your prospects to pan out, that's a really good turnover percentage. And you still have Arrieta down in the minor league struggling, but you never know what he might be able to contribute in September.
Yeah, it's really funny that you say that because I feel like a little while ago, a few weeks ago, we were talking about the Cavalry as having been failed,
Yep.
and having been, you know, an experiment that had really passed. And boy, what a waste of Orioles baseball that was. And
Maybe
so,
it's all about biomechanics, though.
yeah, it's really funny that you know, in such a short time, that's completely turned around. So I have to agree. I think that we've seen good things out of all those guys, and you know, again, like we talked about with Mattis, it's so nice to see something productive come out of them. All right, my good is Nate McLaughlin, and this is really a mea culpa because I have been saying quietly
Clapped.
to
There can
myself,
only be one.
"There can only be one." I've been saying quietly to myself, "Why is this guy hitting in the three hole? Like, well, what really? Well, can't we slide him down and put somebody, you know, a little more, I guess, persuasive in the third hole,
Like Jim Thome?
like Jim Thome? We need some tater bombs here. That's what we need, especially in the three hole."
Yes.
But he has really acquitted himself nicely. Obviously, you know, with that big home run. But in the last week, he's had, as Buck likes to say, a good contact to damage ratio. You know, 6 for 18, a .333 average, .429 on base, and 500 slugging. He's really, you know, acquitted himself nicely in that three hole. And if I could just give honorable mention, Markakis. And you know, you can't say every week, "Markakis is great, Markakis is great, Markakis is great." But 7 RBIs in the last week, and he's just hitting the cover off the ball. He's getting hits when he needs to. It's about time.
Right. Go to the bad.
Yep.
I think I'm going to steal yours, but that's okay. My bad is Dr. Jones, Adam Jones. He's just been really poor at the plate, especially for your cleanup hitter. You know, you really expect a cleanup hitter to at least, you know, hit the ball. And what's he got, like less than a .200 average, and he's really done crap lately at the plate. I know he had his 25th home run, it was his 100th home run, but he's really been struggling at the plate, especially with the breaking balls lately to me.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And you did steal that bat right out of my grasp.
Sorry.
But no, I was also going to pile up on Adam Jones. And it's not like you can beat him up too bad because he's undeniably the Orioles MVP of this season.
Right.
He's been solid all season. He carries the club even when he's struggling offensively with his defense and also just being a clubhouse leader. But he's been miserable over the last week.
So, Adam Jones, you're on notice.
Yeah. Batting a .158 in the last week, he's in a funk and he needs to get out of it. All right, let's talk ugly. I'm gonna go ugly first this time around,
okay?
And I'm gonna call out the Oriole fan base.
Of course you are.
I'm gonna call out the Oriole fan base for attendance. You know, the White Sox series, you've got 10,000-12,000 people in the stands. You've got a team that's competing, and you're leaving them out to dry. And you know, for as many seasons as we've, you know, wanted them to be good, all we wanted to do is sniff 500. Well, they're greatly exceeding that. They're holding up their end of the bargain, and the fans not so much.
Are you done bitching now?
No.
All right.
But I'm done on this one.
Okay. I really don't see what the issue is here. I really think once the Yankees series happens, you're going to see a dynamic Orioles attendance. And it's not just going to be Yankees fans. I think it's going to be very similar to like the opening day games. We're going to go there and it's going to be 80% Orioles fans and there's going to be chanting and everything. It's going to be a great series. I think it's going to restore your faith in Birdland.
I can't disagree anymore because I know that there are plenty of people who don't want to touch that series. Prime games against the Yankees and the Red Sox have gotten so ridiculous. Well, the Red Sox not so much because their bandwagon fans have not shown up the way they have. Gee, I wonder what that could be. But with the Yankees, people don't want to go to the.
Chicken and beer?
Yeah, it's the chicken and beer. People don't want to go see the Yankees series as much because they don't want to be surrounded by vermin, wearing pinstripes, and they don't want to pay the extra money. It's not a good series for Orioles fans to go to, and that's why they stay away.
God, it's almost like the Orioles box office and Mark PR Farmer was saying, okay, well, we're not going to charge extra for Yankees and Red Sox games. More Orioles fans might come.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just saying, I don't think that it will be a massive Orioles show up for that series.
I think it's going to be 80% Orioles fans.
I think it will be 80% Orioles fans the Cal Ripken statue night.
I think it's going to be 80% Orioles fans for the rest of that series.
Yeah, we'll talk after that okay. series, and we'll see who's right and who's
all right.
All right, what's your ugly?
My ugly has to be Tommy Hunter.
What?
Yeah.
I think he's been so great in AA.
I think we've already covered it. The fact that, you know, he's given up so many long balls this season, and then having him get sent down to AA, that's just ugly. I'm sorry.
That's comical.
That's just really ugly. I feel bad for the guy a little bit, but man, that's ugly.
I would feel less bad for the guy if he didn't deserve it.
He seems like a nice enough guy, but
no, he seems like a nice enough guy. He seems like he's trying really hard, and in the innings when he's not getting blown up, he has very effective outings.
You're right. He just sucks at his profession.
Right. If he could throw out all the crappy innings he's thrown, he's been great.
Right. Exactly. If you just throw out all those games that we got blown up on by 12 or 13 runs, our run differential would be great.
That's right. If you discount games that we lost, we've got a great record.
That's right. All right, that's all I had for ugly.
Well, that's ugly enough for now.
Okay.
All right, well, we'll be back next week to finish talking about this horrific game we're watching here, seventh inning against the White Sox.
I'll give you a sneak preview for next week. Someone's going to yell about Kevin Gregg.
Yeah, it's probably going to happen.
Yeah.
Do you think they'll send him down to AA?
No, I don't think so.
This world is unjust. All right, that's all I've got for this week, so thanks for listening.
All right, everybody. See you next week. Hopefully, we'll be within a few games of the American League East, just like we are today. Bye, everybody.